Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Lamed Aleph. We begin six lines from the top of the Amid. In yesterday's Daf, we discussed the halacha of Safek Tzoras Erva. So, for instance, as follows, we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was married to Rachel, an ordinary wife, unrelated to Shimon. Then he actually did a Safek Kedushin with another woman, Leah, who happens to be an Erva to Shimon. Leah is Shimon's daughter, mother-in-law, etc. Now, in fact, if the Kedushin would work, would have been considered a proper Kedushin, then she's an Erva, and Rachel, the veteran wife, the first wife, is a Tzaras Erva. So when Reuven passes away, both Leah, who's an Erva of Shimon, and Rachel, who's a Tzaras Erva of Shimon, are both disqualified from Yibum or Chalitza. But here we have a suffix, whether at all that Kedushin was effective. Basically, the question is whether Reuven actually included, whether he brought Leah, the Erva, into his family. So was Rachel affected or not? We're not sure. In this case, says the Mishnah, we take a middle route. Upon Reuven's passing, Leah gets Chalitza but no Yibam. However, we don't find the same halacha when it comes to tossing a get to the Erva. So Reuven was married to Rachel, a non-Erva, and also we know he was married to Leah, who was an Erva of Shimon. That's for sure. He was married to her. But then he tossed a get in her direction. We're not sure whether she received it or not. It would seem from the Mishnah that in this case, we do treat Rachel as a Tzaras Erva, and she's totally exempt from Yibum or Chalitza upon Reuven's passing. The question is why? The Gemara says, well, Rava says, well, Rachel was becheskas heter l'shuk. She was deemed a tzaras erva up until this point. We knew that she was married to Reuven together with Leah. She was a companion wife to this erva. The suffix is whether the erva left the family and changed her status. So we just leave it at that. She stays put and she's putter from everything. Eis ve'abai. Abai asked the kasha to Rabba. The halacha says like this: No fal habayis, olav valbas ochiv. This fellow was married to his niece, which is actually something praiseworthy, as the Gemara later in the Samach Gimel, I think, says. Tesis there explains they're close in nature. So at least in the time of the Gemara, it was common practice to be married to a relative. So this fellow was married to bas och, daughter of his brother, his niece. So Reuben's married to Leah, his niece, and also to Rachel, unrelated. She's unrelated to Shimon. And the house collapsed. Nafal habayis, olav habas ochav. Building collapsed upon Reuven and his wife, this niece, Leah, who's the erva to Shimon. So Reuven passed away without any children. And the question is whether the remaining wife is a proper Yevama. Whether Rachel, who survived the story, is going to be obligated, is going to be a Yevama and fall liyibum to Shimon. What's a shayla? Ve'en yodo, we're not sure. Eze mehem meis rishon. Which one of them? The husband or Leah, the niece, died first. You see, if Leah passed away first, then she's sort of removed from the scene. She left the family prior to Reuven's death, in which case Rachel is unaffected. She's not considered Tzaras Erva at the point of Yibum, and she could go and marry Shimon. On the other hand, perhaps Reuven, the husband, passed away first, leaving behind Leah, who's an Erva to Shimon, and Rachel the Tzaras Erva. So question is, Rachel a Tzaras Erva or not? Answer is, we're not sure, and therefore Tzarasa Chayletzes V'lemisi Abemes, Rachel gets Chalitza no Yibam. So here, we know that there was an Erva in the family up until this point. we're not sure whether she left the family prior to the Yibam, being a Yibam circumstance, being introduced to the scene. The Mishnah says, the Tzaras Erva, the Safek Tzaras Erva, gets Chalitza. Amai, why? Hachanami, here as well, name we should say, Isha Zu Becheskas Heter, L'shukai Medes. Rachel had a chazaka she can marry out all along, all throughout her lifetime. She was part of this family with the Erva. She was presumed mutter lashuk. We're not sure whether the Erva left town before Yibum kicked in. Umisafek at the Bola Isra. And on account of this uncertainty, you're speculating, perhaps the Tzara did leave, the Erva left before the husband died. On account of this Safek, you're trying to impose an Isser on Rachel? You're obligating her in Yibum, at least in Chalitza. Altas Renner Misafik, can't do that Misafik. She has a Chazaka, she's Mutter. Why is this different than the discussion we had yesterday? That is Safik, Tzoras Erva in this case, can marry out. Vechitem Mechanami L'chumra. Okay, so you'll tell me it's a Chumra. I'm just applying Chalitza on account of that uncertainty. Chumra da'asi lidei kulu. As we mentioned yesterday, this chumra can actually lead to a pitfall, a kula. She'ima to'imer chaletzes, misya bemes. Because if you say she needs chalitza, which indicates that she's not considered a tzaras erva, we assume that the erva left the scene before Yibum kicked in, well then people won't differentiate. They'll say, look, she's a regular Yivama, let's take her to Yibum. So what's the difference between this case and the case we discussed yesterday with the Safek Gerushin? Similar case. We had an Erva and a non-Erva in the same family. We're not sure whether he divorced the Erva, whether she left the scene prior to the Yibum situation. We don't apply Chalitza to the Tzaras Erva. We just assume that she's a Tzaras Erva. She was all along. And over here we say otherwise. Answers the Gemara, there's a difference. Gerushin de Shchichi. Divorce is something common. Gozru bu rabbonu, rabbonu applied gzeira. As we said, well, if you do chalitza, it might lead to yibum, which is certainly not allowed. As opposed to mapoilis, dilei shchichi, a collapsed building is something uncommon. Like gozru bu rabbonu, rabbonu didn't see a need to make gzeira. Following with the general formula, chazal only make gzeiras by common occurrences. Inami, another differentiation as follows. Gerushin, when it comes to divorce, the kaima erva, the kamuchach. So he threw a get towards the erva. We're not sure whether it actually worked or not. So in this case, the erva is right here. She's around, the kokaima. She's alive. In which case, everybody sees. Look, here's the erva, and here is Rachel, the tzaras erva, the kamuchach. But tzarasa, you have the erva right here, which indicates, look, the erva was part of the family. Everybody sees the other woman is a tzaras erva. And then, you apply chalitza to the other woman. What are people going to think? Chalitza to a tzaras erva? Since when? Oh, there must be some special reason here. Amri, people will speculate and say, then conclude that kamu be'rabbanan begita. The chachamim must have concluded that the get, the problematic get procedure that was done, was indeed an effective get. The get ma'alyu. It was a kosher get. As a result of which the erva was removed from the scene. Otherwise, why would you make chalitza to the tzara's erva? The erva's right here. Oh, it must be that she left the family before the husband passed away. Oh, vasu liyavumid litzara. So that's going to lead to applying Yibum to the Tzara. They'll say, look, it must have been a real get. The Erva was taken off the scene, and the Tzara is free to go to do Yibum. That's why we don't apply even Chalitza. We don't want to create this confusion. As opposed to Mapoilas, when it comes to this collapsed structure, who knows what's going on beneath that structure? Mikamu bu rabbanu b'mapoilas. The Chachamim know exactly what happened beneath that Mapoilas. Who died first? Rashi says, are the Dayanim that are going to apply Chalitza to be considered Nevi'im, Everybody knows what's going on beneath the structure. Everybody knows. That's an unknown situation. It's inherently unknown. And the reason why we apply chalitza is because of the suffix. Nobody's going to conclude any conclusions. The fact that we apply chalitza to the tzara is no indication of the sequence of events, which remains unknown. So in this case, just because we do chalitza to the tzara's erva, or to the suffix tzara's erva, it's not going to lead anybody to actually apply yibum. So that's the difference between the two cases. Asks the Gemara, V'gabi gerushin miloy tnan? Do you mean to say that when it comes to a suffix, whether a get was valid or not, whether the erva was taken off the scene before the yibum situation kicked in or not, when we have that type of suffix, we're not going to deal with it, just like by the kiddushin, meaning we're not going to apply chalitza to the suffix tzaras erva. But tnan, we have a mishnah as follows. Oy, so I made this vicious rab. If the isha was standing in the street, v'zorkelo, and the husband tossed a get in her direction, karavlo megoreshes. If it landed next to her, it works. Karavlo landed near him, ena megoreshes. The get is not activated. Mechza, mechza. If it landed right at the halfway point, megoreshes. Ve'ena megoreshes. She's considered divorced and not divorced. Basically, she's in limbo. V'amrina my hilchasa, and we asked, what is the application, what is the ramification of this suffix? Two things. Number one, the kainu asurole. If this husband is a kain, he can't live with her because perhaps she was divorced from him. A kain can't remarry a divorcee. The ervahi. Number two, let's say this fellow was married to two women, Rachel and Leah. And Leah is this erva. She's a daughter to his brother Shimon. And then, after this episode with the tossed get, which created this suffix of whether or not the erva left the family. And of course, we know that Reuven was married to another Isha as well, Rachel, right? After which, Reuven passes away. The suffix is whether Leah left the family prior to Reuven's death, in which case Rachel is not a tzara's erva, she's unaffected by the erva, and she's a regular yevama, or perhaps Leah remained in the family because the get was not a valid get, in which case Rachel is affected by her, she's a tzara's erva. So what do we do? We do chalitza to the tzara. Clearly, by a suffix gerushin, we apply chalitza. But we don't concern ourselves with that concern. If you're going to apply chalitza, which of course can't be done in this case, because perhaps it's a tzara serva. Clearly, we're not concerned about that. So why is it that in our sugya, in our mishnah, it sounds otherwise? It sounds like we don't apply chalitza in the case of suffix gerushin, when we're not sure whether or not they ever left the scene. Answers the Gemara. Ha'itmaralo. We have an explanation on that mishnah. It's speaking about a unique case, different than our sugya. Rab of Rabbi Yosef Damir Tavayu. They both explained. Ha'cha. In this mishnah, b'shtei kitei edem askina, was speaking that there was a contradiction, a stero between two pairs of edem, as to what exactly occurred. Achas emeras, one pair of edem, Reuven and Shimon are claiming, karev la, the get landed next to her, and the get was activated. She was divorced. The erva left the scene prior to any yibum concerns. Va'achas emeras karev la, next pair of edem contradict the first one. Then they say, look, we know the get landed next to the husband, and it was not a proper get. In this case, it's a true suffix. Da'avile sveka da'raisa. So since you have two edim who claim that she was divorced, you can't just ignore that. You can't say, well, the erva was still here and the tzara is affected and she's potter. You can't do that. You can't follow the chazaka, the presumption that the tzara is mutter to marry out. We have two edim claiming that the erva was removed, was taken off the scene. She was divorced before the husband passed away. So in this case, you can't get away without chalitza. That's the case in the Mishnah there. That explains why we apply chalitza. But by us, it's a different story. Now Mishnah bekas achas. We're speaking that there were no more than two people. One kat, one pair of edim, Reuben and Shimon. One fellow says, look, it landed here. And one fellow says, it landed there. Da'avalei sfekad rabbonim. Here it's different. You're not dealing with a Safek D'Oraisa. It's not like you have a pair of Edim on each side of the spectrum. You have just one against one. It's a Safek D'Rabbanan. So, when it comes to the Safek pertaining to Kiddushin, you're not sure whether you brought the Erva into your family. You're not sure exactly what happened. You have a conflict between the account of the two accounts of the individuals. So in this case, we say, look, the veteran wife needs chalitza. You don't know that the erva entered the family, in which case the tzaras erva is affected. You don't know whether she became part of the family. So you have to apply chalitza to the tzaras erva. Because perhaps the erva never joined the family. But when it comes to the question of whether the erva left the family, so up until that point, both women were exempt. You have the erva and the tzaras erva, who were part of the same family. So in this case, just because one aide is claiming that she left the family, it's just one aide. It's not enough to change the chazaka, change the status, the heter status of this isha, of the other woman, of Rachel, the non-erva. And therefore, we just presume that she's mutter and she can marry out. We don't even apply chalitza. And the reason is, again, because if we apply chalitza, it might lead to applying yibum, which of course you can't do. Says, well, how do you know that's the circumstance in our Mishnah? How do you know? How do you know that we're speaking about just one group splitting and conflicting each other? The answer is, domid kedushin, because if we speak about a Safek Gerushin, it must be similar to a Safek Kedushin described in our Mishnah, which is speaking about one pair of Edom conflicting each other. Ma kedushin b'kata achas, just like kedushin is discussing two people fighting against each other. Af gerushin v'kata achas, likewise, the theoretical case of Safek Gerushin would presumably mirror the case of Safek Kedushin b'kata achas, and would involve only one group, one pair, two individuals offering conflicting accounts of the story. V'kedushin gufayu m'mayde b'kata achas. And how do you even know that when the Mishnah speaks about a Safek Kedushin, we are speaking about this type of case? One pair of Edim who were contradicting each other. Dilma v'beis kiti Edim, perhaps we're speaking about two separate pairs of Edim contradicting each other. Answers the Gemara, you know why? Because even beis kiti Edim, if the Mishnah describing the case of the Safek Kedushin would be speaking about a case of two pairs of Edim that are contradicting each other, one pair saying, look, we know that the Kedushin was not an effective Kedushin. In that case, tis yabim, we can just allow the other woman to go for yibum, ve'im b'kachlum, without any concerns, because we have a pair of Edom saying that the money tossed to the Isha for Kedushin never reached her. Kedushin was never activated. The Erva never joined the family, in which case the other woman remains unaffected, and she could be misyabim. Ask him, well, what do you mean? You're forgetting about the other pair of Edom on the other side of the equation. Kaimi Edom. We have two Edom standing here. Kaimi, who are saying, Korav Lo, the money did land next to her. The Kedushin was activated. The Erva did join the family, and the other woman is a Tzaras Erva. V'kavat Amrtis Yabim. You're telling me that she can go to Yibim? She's a Tzaras Erva. V'im Kachlum, without any concern. What do you mean to say? So how can you say the Mishnah is speaking about two pairs of Edom opposing each other? Vesu, another kasha. Vishteki te Edom. Even if you're right that we're speaking about two pairs of Edom, two separate groups of Edom. Vishteki te Edom nami. Sveka de Rabbanani. Even if it's two against two, the fact is, at the end of the day, you're only dealing with Savi de Rabbanan. Which means to say, you have one pair against the other. They sort of cancel each other out. Damrinan uki tre lebadi tre. We take two, and we put them against the other two, and they sort of cancel each other out. V'ishu ukma machazaka, and you allow the woman to revert back to her chazaka status. So in our case, we have Rachel and Leah, and there was a suffix, gerushin, to Leah the Erva. You're not sure whether she left the family. And Rachel, till this point, had a chazaka that she's mutter l'shuk, she can marry out. She was presumed as to be a tzaras Erva, right? And she's still presumed to be as such. She has a chazaka. So even if you have all kinds of Edom, but since the Edom sort of cancel each other out, there are equal powers here, two and two, so you just cancel them out, and the woman reverts back to original status, which is that she's mutter to marry out. She's presumed to have been a tzaras Erva. Like the story involving the property of this fellow Barshatya. The Barshatya, that was his name, Zavanichsi sold off some properties. Also, Beitre, Vamri, two fellows came along and claimed, Kishu Cholim Zavan. He sold his properties when he was alert, when he was mentally stable. He was all there. Also, Beitre. And the first group was conflicted, was opposed by another pair of Edom. Another two that came along, Va'amru Kishu Shaitazavan. No, we know for a fact that he actually conducted this transaction when he wasn't really mentally stable. He wasn't fit to deal with properties, and his transactions are invalid. What do we do? Vamar Vashi, Uki Tre, Ladi Tre. We take two, and we take the other two, and we sort of cancel them out. Va'ara, Ukma Becheskas Barshatya. And now, the property is just allowed to stay in the possession of Barshatya. We sort of ignore all the accounts of the Edom. We can't accept anybody. So basically you see that even if you have Edom, who are meant to be believed, Minatera, the power of Edus is unparalleled, but if they're opposed by another pair of Edom, we sort of cancel them out. We don't have to reckon with them. We follow the Chazaka. Everything reverts back to the way it was. Here as well, says the Gemara, Reuben was married to Rachel, and also to Leah. Leah was the Erva. We're not sure whether or not there was a gerushin that was executed. We have Edom saying one thing, another pair of Edom saying otherwise. You know what we do? They clash. We discount them. And the Isha, in this case it's Rachel, will just revert back to her original status. In which case, she's presumed to be a tzaras erva and pater. She has a chazaka of heter, pater from yibum and chalitza. So why is it that in the Mishnah, we quoted a Mishnah, right? Mishnah, she was standing on the street and they threw her a get, and when there was a suffix there, whether the erva left town, we apply chalitza to the tzaras erva. Why? And why is it different than our Mishnah? Well, we don't seem to do the same thing. It seems from our Mishnah, in this case, we don't do Chalitza because the Isha is presumed to be exempt. She has a chazaka of heter that she can marry out. And says the Gemara, you're right. You know what? We're no longer going to differentiate between a suffix, whether the Isha was divorced or not, whether the Erva left the family or not, or a case where there's a suffix kedushin. An uncertainty whether the Isha, the Erva, joined the family. Just as in the latter case, in the case of Safek Kedushin, we apply Chalitza to the other woman. We're not sure whether or not she was affected by the Erva. We apply Chalitza. The same would apply by a Safek Gerushin. If we know that there was an Isha together with an Erva, we're not sure whether the Erva left the family in time. We apply Chalitza to the other woman. Mi Safek. It's a Chumrah. So we cover all the possibilities and we do a Chalitza. Elo Amar Abaye, says Abaye, you're right. Yagid is a pasuk in Eiv. Yagid Olav Reyai. His friend will just indicate on him. It's just a way of saying that, you know, sometimes you elaborate on one side of the equation, but it's just an example that is indicative of what's meant to happen on the other side of the equation as well. Sure, the Tana discusses Kedushin and what happens by a Safek Kedushin. We're not sure whether the Erva was incorporated into the family, so the Tzara is a suffix Tzara Erva. We apply Chalitza, and the same would apply to a case which is in the reverse. There was an Erva here. We're not sure whether she left the family. Tanabik, Tanabik, Tanabik edition. Vodin Ligerishin. We learned the halacha regarding a Safek Kiddushin, that we do chalitza to the Safek Erev, and the same would apply in the case of Gerushin, Tana Begerushin, what in the Kiddushin. And likewise, the Mishnah discusses examples of Safek by Begerushin with the deficient documents there, a get that doesn't have a zman, a date, whatever. So, just because the Mishnah lists those examples pertaining to Gerushin and not by Kiddushin, the same thing would apply to Kiddushin as well. And so basically, it's lav dafka, the fact that the Mishnah chose these examples by Kiddushin and by Gerushin, really, they're meant to be mixed and matched. Amalei Rava says, Rava Yagadol Avreya, if in fact you follow the formula of Yagadol Avreya, that you can just shift one to the other. My zehu diktani. Why does the Mishnah use the word zehu? Zehu safek kedushin. Right? He threw her the money. He's not sure whether it arrived to the isha or not. Zehu safek kedushin. Zehu. This is an example of safek kedushin, indicating that this type of safek would only apply. By Kiddushin, you only have this type of suffix. You don't have other types of suffix. And in the case of the deficient documents, the Mishnah also says, Zeo suffix Gerushin. It's only this. It sounds like it's being, the Mishnah is being very specific and exact in the way it's presenting the cases. My Zeo Diktani. Why does the Mishnah use the word Zeo? Elam Rava, I'll explain to you as follows. Rava theoretically agrees to Abaye that a suffix, a gerushin, such as when he threw it, not sure whether it reached the isha, and not sure whether the isha left the family or not, a chalitza would apply to the other woman as a suffix, etzeres erva. She agrees in principle, but with one deviation, with one difference. Elam arava, you have some cases which the Mishnah calls suffix gerushin, which wouldn't be applicable to kiddushin. Kol sheyesh bekiddushin yesh begerushin. The examples, or I should say the example mentioned in the Mishnah, pertaining to Kiddushin, such as when he threw the money, not sure whether it reached Isha, that would apply to Gerushin as well. So now the Gemara is turning over the whole sugya. Yes, by Gerushin, the same halacha would apply. If he threw a get, not sure whether it arrived to the Isha or not, well, not sure whether they ever left the family or not, the other woman, the companion wife, would need a safik chalitz. A chalitza misafik. Kol sheyesh bekiddushin yesh begerushin. Whatever described by Kiddushin applies to Gerushin as well. The Yesh Begerushin, however, we have examples attributed to divorce, Masha'ein Bekiddushin, which are not applicable to Kiddushin. Why? We'll see in a minute. Vizeo de Gerushin lav dafka. And although the Mishnah says the word Zehu by Gerushin, it's not accurate, because really, the case attributed to Kiddushin, such as the case where he threw the money, he's not sure whether it arrived, that would be applicable to Gerushin as well. Elam Shem the Tana, Zel Bekiddushin. But since the Mishnah used the word Zel Bekiddushin, which is accurate, as we're going to see in a minute, Tana now is Zel Bekiddushin, the Mishnah applies the word Zel Bekiddushin. Oh, Vizel the Kiddushin Lamutimai. So why indeed did the Mishnah use the word Zel by this, when describing Suffolk of Kiddushin? This type of case generates a Suffolk by Kiddushin. Tossing of the money, not sure whether it arrived or not, that creates an uncertainty by Kiddushin. As opposed to something else, the other examples that are attributed to Gerushin, that doesn't apply to Kiddushin. Lemutimai, what are we trying to exclude? Lemutizman, the lack of a Kiddushin. One example that the Mishnah cites pertaining to a get is the get that's missing a date. It's an undated document. That is considered a deficient divorce document, as opposed to by a shtar kiddushin, that doesn't really matter. So that's why the Mishnah used the word zehu by kiddushin, because there is something that the Mishnah mentions in a gerushin context, which does not apply here to kiddushin. Okay, so this is a side point. But getting back to our sugya, let's just conclude before we continue, that the maskana at this point is, when we have a suffix tzaras erva in town, whether that suffix was generated by a suffix kiddushin or by a suffix gerushin, meaning this fellow Reuven was married to Rachel, a non-issue woman, a non-erv. But then he did a suffix kiddushin with Leah, who's an erva. Did she enter the family? Did she join or not? We're not sure. Or, conversely, he was married to Rachel and to Leah the erva. he executed a suffolk gerushin to Leah. I'm not sure whether she left the family prior to his death or not. In both cases, Rachel is considered a suffolk tzara serva, and she gets chalitz. Okay, getting back to Zman. Zman is only a required feature in a get and not in a shtar kiddushin. So you write a shtar, hariyat mekodeshesli, to accomplish kiddushin. It doesn't have to be dated. Why not? The Gemara will explore the reasons for this. Umipnei ma'aloi tiknu zman mekiddushin. Why indeed the Chacham did not incorporate a zman requirement in a shtar kiddushin? The answer is as follows. There are two possible reasons why we need a zman and a get. The Gemara in Gittin explains as follows. One is because of pirus. A husband is allowed to benefit from the fruit growing on his wife's field. But from that point onward, from when he decides to divorce her, he's no longer privileged. He's no longer allowed to go take those pirus. So he's meant to write a zman. He should date that get to indicate, look, going forward, I no longer have the rights to have her pirus. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, we want to protect the sanctity of the Jewish family. We want to protect against any possibility of znus. So let's say this fellow was married to his, the Gemara says, married to Basa Chosei, as we had in Amud Aleph, he's married to his niece. He wants to cover for her, knowing that she didn't have Avera while she was married to him. He quickly write a get. Moshe used that get to claim, look, I was already divorced prior to committing znus. No, we have him date the document to avoid any such cover-up that doesn't allow him to use the get as an alibi. So now, why doesn't this apply to shtar kiddushin? Well, if the reason for the zman in a get is because of the peiris, he relinquishes his rights to have his peiris. Well, that only works by a get. That's not a necessary feature in a shtar kiddushin because arusa leis laperi. In any case, one cannot enjoy the peiris of his engaged wife's field. So zman and kiddushin is not really applicable pertaining to peiris. But if the reason is to protect, to interfere with their scheme, Basa Chosei married to his niece, and they want to use the get to claim that she was divorced prior to committing znus. That's what we dated. Well, that should apply to a shtar kedushin as well. Liskin zman. Let's apply a zman to a shtar kedushin. Because let's say she commits znus and she'll claim, well, it happened before I was married to him. We'll pull out the shtar kedushin, which will prove otherwise. This zman, this get, this shtar kedushin predates the znus, and it will implicate her. So why not? Mishum de'ikud de mekadosh bekasp, because some will do kedushin by way of money. Ve'ikud de mekadosh b'shtar, and others with a shtar. So since we have some and some, the shtar is not really something of a regular feature, and therefore le'tikun rabbanan zman, rabbanan did not bother applying zman to shtar kedushin. Homali rav acha b'ed rav esel rav ashi. What do you mean, va'avda? The ikka de kane v'kaspa. When it comes to an eved going free, some, they go free by way of redeeming themselves, paying their masters up and going free like that. V'ikka b'shtara, and some do it by the way of a document. V'tikun rabban zman. We still see that the Chacham applied a zman to a shtar, shichur of the eved. And Tosfos explains, the point is to indicate when he went free and when he's mutter to marry a Bas Yisrael. So even though it's not universally accepted, it's not necessarily something that everybody does, Chacham saw a need to apply zman to a shtar. Why is it in a shtar condition? Answers the Gemara, Hosam Ruba b'shtar. Over there, most use a shtar to set their eved free. Hacha Ruba b'kaspa, as opposed to condition, most implement condition by way of money, and therefore we don't bother applying zman to a shtar kedushin. In any case, it's not so applicable. It's not really going to do the job if most people are not going to be using a shtar in any case. Ibois ema. Another terrorist is as follows. There's not much benefit in applying zman to a shtar kedushin. You're trying to protect against nus. Mishum delay efsha. It's not really an effective solution. Heichli avid, because what are we going to do with the shtar? How are you going to use the shtar to prove the sequence of events and implicate the isha in znus? Luncha gabi dida, who's going to actually have possession of the shtar kedushin? Going to leave it by her? Machkale, she'll just erase it. And she'll claim, look, I was unmarried at the time of znus. Prove me wrong. Luncha gabi dida, well, leave it by him. Perhaps he'll try to cover for her. Zimin de basa chaysi, maybe he's married to his niece. Machapala, he's trying to cover on her. Trying to protect her. Once again, he'll just hide the shtar kedushin, and there goes the whole proof, the whole point. Okay, so we'll leave it by the Edom who actually signed the shtar and leave it in their care. That's problematic. You know why? Either zechiri, because if they remember the story, they remember when it happened, let them come without a shtar and just testify. There's no point in leaving the shtar by them. Let them just come. We believe them without a shtar. And now if perhaps they forgot, you know, their memory failed them and they forgot what happened, then there's a real concern that they might actually come testify based on the information they see in the shtar, and that's problematic. Zimnin the chozum iksava, perhaps they'll actually use the iksav as a source for their information, va'asum ishadi, and use that to come testify, and that's a problem. Rahman Amar, the pasuk says they can't do that. Mipiyam v'lem ipiksavam, Edom have to testify, they have to express the account. Mipiyam, they can't actually come and use the document as a source, as a reference. So there's no point in having a zman in a shtar kedushin. She's going to hold on to it, or him, it's never going to show up in Bezdin. If the Edom are going to hold on to it, well, if they remember when the condition happened, they were there, then they should come without a shtar. If they don't remember, that's problematic. They shouldn't be coming in any case, because they can't use the shtar as a source. So that's why we skipped the Zman by the shtar condition. If that's the case, when it comes to Gerushin, why do we have Zman and Gerushin? Just in case the isha was mezana while she was still married, we write a zman in the get, which will disprove the isha. Look, the gerushin took place after your znus. Right, that's the point. Well, guess what? It's not going to be too effective there either, because who's holding on to the shtar? Who has the get? Let's say the isha. She'll just hide it. Prove me wrong. I claim that I was divorced before the znus, and I was no longer married. Or let's say he holds on to it, the same thing, I'll just cover for her. Says the Gemara, big difference. Hasam lat solo de dakasi over there, without the get, this isha is presumed to be an isha's ish, until proven otherwise. We know she was married all along. You have to show that she was divorced prior to the znus. So you better bring along that shtar. You better prove by bringing that get to Bezdin, that she was divorced before this nus. If you hide it, if you conceal it, you're in trouble. Hacha, but when it comes to Kedushin, she was a pnuya. She was unmarried before the Kedushin. L'chayva didaka asi, bringing the shtar is actually to her detriment. Right? By bringing the shtar Kedushin, you're trying to prove that the condition took place before the znus. Well, guess what? Just conceal the shtar condition, whether she will do it, he will do it, and there's no way to prove that she was married by the time she did znus. So here there's a real concern that applying this man to shtar condition won't bring us much benefit. They'll just hide the shtar. So there's no point. There's no point to begin with, and therefore we drop it. Continues the mission. Gimel Achan, you have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Nusun, Gimel Nachriya is married to three unrelated women, Rachel, Leah, and Sarah, who are actually not sisters, for once. Umeis Echad Mehem, Reuben passed away. Rachel is now a Yevama. She's presenting to one of two potential Yevam candidates, either Shimon or Levi. Va'asaba Sheni Mamar, Shimon approached her, and instead of actually doing Yevam, he did Mamar, the Kedusha Yevama, Kedusha Umeis, and then he passed away, leaving behind his own personal wife, Leah, veteran wife, and this Rachel woman, with whom he had some sort of interaction, this mama, which is some sort of slightly connected to his family. What happens now to Rachel and Leah? Hare'elu cholzes lemisiyab mois, Levi will apply chalitza to both b'no yivam. Why shenemar? Pasuk says, umeis echad mehem, yivama yavei leah. One brother passes away. The yivama is a yivam candidate. We learn from here. Misha leah zikas yavam echad. Only a woman who is driven to yivam as a result of the misa of one brother. There's one reason for yivam. V'loisha leah zikas beiz yivamin, as opposed to an isha who has two yivamin vying to be miyamim her. Basically, she has two reasons for yivam. This Rachel woman fell once from Reuven to Shimon, and then Shimon sort of took her in a little bit. She did mamra. She sort of placed one foot into her in his family. Now when Shimon passes away, there are two reasons for yivam, so to speak. One on account of her being Reuven's wife, and one on account of her being Shimon's so-called wife. That's a problem. So that's why only chalitza applies and not yivam. Reb Shimon Omer, no. No concern. Levi is free to do yivam to either one, Rachel or Leah, and do chalitza to the second one. Asks the Gemara. I don't understand. V'izikas beiz yivam in deraisa. According to Tanakhama, if this woman is bound to yivam on account of two men, Reuven and Shimon, chalitza namelo tiboy. If this halacha is based on a pasuk, as we just mentioned in the Mishnah, she's totally exempt. Not only is she disqualified from yivam, but from chalitza as well. Why does the Mishnah apply chalitza? Ella says, the Gemara, you're right, it's not minat Torah, it's only midrabbanan. And the pasuk brought in the Mishnah just a sort of an asmachta support. And the reason why we don't allow yivam is as follows. Technically, Rachel is totally roi for yivam. Rather, there's a gzera. Ugzera shema yomru beiz yevamois habois and bayis echad misyabmois. We're concerned that if we allow yivam in this case, people might misconstrue or misapply this halacha. And they'll think, look, here we have a case where Shimon passed away, leaving behind two yivamois. They'll think that just as Shimon was married to Leah, his primary veteran wife, he was also married to Rachel. He took her into the family through the mamre. People will appear to the onlooker that Shimon was married to two wives. And upon his passing, look, we're doing yivam to both of them. That's a big mistake, because whenever a fellow passes away leaving behind two wives, you only do yivam to one. You want to address the household, the family. You do yivam on one, and you exempt the other. So this case of Shimon passing away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah, is strikingly similar to a case where a fellow passed away, leaving behind, really, two of his own wives. And therefore, if we allow yivam in this case by us, it's going to lead to confusion. So we apply only chalitz. Asks the Gemara. He's telling me that, technically speaking, Rachel and Leah both require yibam, right? Because Rachel is really coming only from Reuven. That's her real husband. Mamre doesn't really connect her to Shimon. She relates and identifies back to Reuven. And when Shimon passes away, his wife Leah relates to him. So you have Rachel coming from Reuven, Leah coming from Shimon. Each one is really a different, a totally different context, a different family, a different yibam. So why don't you do as follows? V'niyavim l'chada, do yivam to one of them. V'nechlitz l'chada, at least do chalitza to the other one. Don't do chalitza to both, do chalitza to one and yivam to the other. Because even on account of your concern, this is okay. What are you worried about? A case where two women are coming from the same family? In which case you can't do yivam twice? Okay. In this case, we're doing yibam to one and chalitza to the other. At worst case, somebody will do chalitza in the case of two women from the same family. That's not so bad. You didn't do an isser by doing chalitza. So why can't you do the same thing here? Gzeira, there's a concern, Shemir Yomer. Perhaps people will say, bayis echad, you have sort of one household. Miktsosei banu, part of it is being sort of re-established through yibam. You're doing yibam to one element of the family, to one isha, and chalitza to the other part of the family. And I'll say, well, two yivam is coming from the same family. One gets Yivam, one gets Chalitza. The younger, let people say that. Who cares? Depends how they'll do it. If they do it this way, Yivam to one, then Chalitza to the other, that's okay. No harm was done. But either Meyavim Vador Chalitza, right? If you do Yivam to the first and Chalitza to the second one, Achanami, that wouldn't be a concern, because even though you already did Yivam to the first and you sort of addressed the family, doing Chalitza to the other one isn't an Isser. Chalitza is not an Isser. Rather, Ella, Gzeira, perhaps you'll reverse it. Dilma Chalitza Bereisha. You'll have two women coming from the same family. You'll start with Chalitza to the first one, Vahadar Meyavim, and then follow with a Yivam to the second one. That's a problem, because once you did Chalitza to the first Yivama, you sort of dissolved the Zika from the family. Vekomle, and now you apply the Pasuk Ba'asher Lo'Yivna. Asher Lo'Yivna applies to him. He refused to rebuild, to reinstate the family. Basically, it means he did Chalitza to the first one. Rachman Amar, the Pasuk says, it's too late. Kiva Shalei Bana, Shuv Lo'Yivna, once you fail to rebuild the family, to reinstate the family, basically, once you did Chalitza, it's too late. You can't do Yivim to the second one. So concerned about that happening. That's what we say in this case as well. Rachel came from Reuven, but she was sort of incorporated slightly into Shimon's family, and then Shimon passed away. It looks like Rachel and Leah are coming from the same family. Don't. Do Yivam to one and Chalitza to the other, because perhaps it might lead to a case where you actually have two women coming from the same family. And you'll do Chalitza to the first, in which case you dissolve the Zika, and then you'll go even to the second one. That's a problem. Amar Rava. However, Nosan Get L'Mamor. Let's say Shimon applied a get to address his mamar, to remove his mamar, which he had done to Rachel. He sort of wanted to cancel the effect of his mamar. Hutra Tzarasa. So the companion wife, Leah, is okay. She's free for Yivam. Why? Because although Shimon did mamar to Rachel, but he took it away, he canceled it. In which case, when Shimon then passes away, Shimon's own personal wife, his primary wife, Leah, is unaffected by Rachel. Rachel left the family. She was not part of Shimon's family because of that get that undid the mamar effect. Aval hi asura, but Levi cannot be meyabim. Rachel herself. You know why? The michlefa bebalas al get. We might confuse her with an isha who got a get. Halacha is that a yivama who receives a get from her yavam is now disqualified from yivam to the rabbanon. It appears like sort of a chalitza that was done. So therefore, we don't allow Yibam in this case. Therefore, says Rava, since Shimon did mamar to Rachel and followed with a get, that get disqualifies Rachel from Yibam. And Levi can only do Chalitza upon Shimon's passing. Ikadami, there's another version of Amar Rava. He takes it a step further. Nosan get l'ma'am morei. Reuven passed away, leaving behind Rachel. Shimon approached Rachel, did mamar, and then he did a get to address that mamar. He says, look, I'm doing it to take away the mamar. I'm not trying to dissolve your zika and affect your yibam obligation. I'm just trying to remove what I did. In that case, it reverts back to the way it was. Hutra afilohi. And then when Shimon passes away, everybody's mutter liyibam. Leah, Shimon's wife, is unaffected by Rachel because she was not part of Shimon's family any longer because the mamar was taken away. And even Rachel can have Yibam from Levi. My time of why? My David, but Shakli. He's removed what he did. My David, but the mamar that he applied to Shakli, he removed. That's all he's trying to do. This wasn't your standard get given to a Yivama, which disqualifies her from Yibam. He specifically did a get to address, to remove, to cancel his mamar. That's all. So she's back to square one. She's back where she was. She's Reuven's widow. And now when Shimon passes away, we have Leah, which is Shimon's widow. And they're both Roy, Yibam, to Levi. So, what did we learn today? We spoke about a Suffolk Tzaras Erva. We concluded that whether it's a Suffolk Kiddushin or Suffolk Erushin, meaning Reuven was married to a woman, let's call her Rachel. She's not an Erva to his brother Shimon. Theoretically, she's a proper, suitable Yibam candidate upon Reuven's passing. Then either he brought a erva into the home, but it was a suffolk whether he brought her in. I'm not sure what happened. Or he had an erva in his family, but he did a suffolk gerush. Not sure whether she left the family. In both cases, there's a suffolk of whether or not Rachel was affected by the erva, whether she's considered a tzaras erva, and therefore we do chalitza to the tzara. We also discuss the zman, which is featured in the gerushin for either one of two reasons. Either, this way we know, we date the get, and we know how to deal with the Baal's pay raise privileges, or the point is to protect against Avera. This way we know exactly when she got divorced, and she can't claim that she did znus after the get. We don't apply Zman to Kedushin. Firstly, there's no peiros by an arusa, and as we explained, when it comes to doing an avera, there's absolutely no benefit because they can just conceal the kedushin, and we'll never know what happened. We continued with the Mishnah, the Gemara, discussing a yivama who had a mamar done to her by brother number two, and then brother number two passed away, leaving behind his own personal wife as well. What happens there? The Rabbanan tell us chalitza is applied to both, and there's a gzera de Rabbanan because we're concerned that perhaps next time you'll have a case of a fellow passing away, leaving behind his own personal wives, two of them, and people will say, look, in the same household, you can do yibam and chalitza. Therefore, we disallow it in this case as well. However, the Gemara says, in the name of Rav, if you apply to get to remove that mamar, it addresses the concern, according to the first lashon, addresses the tzora's concern, according to the second lashon, even addresses her own concern, because whatever he did, he canceled. All the best to you, and much atzlocha.